It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. They've got the Surface Pro, and they're going to give you their review next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 298, recorded February 7th, 2013. Snowpocalypse. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Podio from Citrix. Manage your projects with files, instant communication, and collaboration all in one workspace. Start using Podio today. It's free. Just visit Podio.com to sign up, set up your first workspace, and invite your team to get started. Work the way you want to with Podio.com. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today. For a 30-day free trial, visit ShareFile.com. Click the radio microphone and enter Windows. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers the latest news from Windows. And there is news. It's been a very exciting time for Windows. And here to tell you all about it is Paul Thurrott, editor-in-chief of the Supersite for Windows at winsupersite.com, analyst for Penton Media, author of fine books such as Windows 7 Secrets, Windows Phone Secrets, and now online, the Windows 8 book.com.
Close enough. Close enough.
Hi, Paul Thurrott.
Hello, sir.
Also here, I want to say hello to Mary Jo Foley. She writes about Microsoft for ZDNet. It is the definitive Microsoft column, all about Microsoft.com. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hello, Leo.
I thank Ayaz for filling in for me. He enjoyed it so much. He's sick as a dog and not here today.
I think I've been getting people sick over Skype.
It's a new feature.
Yeah.
By the way, we had Paul restart because Paul is working on something that he can now tell us about.
So is Mary Jo, although she's not using it for the podcast.
No. This is a Windows 8 Pro Surface.
Yes, it is.
And you look marvelous. We had you restart. I don't know when. Maybe
I don't know what happened there.
Skype might have been confused, but looks great.
Skype is confused. It's confusing and confused.
It should work perfectly, flawlessly on Windows 8.
You would think so.
It is, after all, a Microsoft Core product.
I have high expectations, but I also have lots of experience that suggests I shouldn't have high expectations.
we have determined that Mary Jo now has sufficient bandwidth, I think, but because she's using a Core 2 Duo Windows 7 machine, we've decided to. We tried to send her a Mac Mini, but she wouldn't hear of it. Yeah. So we're gonna find a Dell computer that looks exactly like a Mac Mini and send that to you instead.
I think you should send her a Mac Mini with Windows on it.
What about that Dell thing, huh?
I know. Wow.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, but I think that's fascinating. Dell looks like they're going to go ahead and be able to go private.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to their deflated stock value, I guess.
They're like the Flowers for Algernon of the PC world.
They're going to get an ejection, and briefly, they're going to be brilliant. But watch out. And in the end, the apes get smart and destroy the earth. Oh, no, that's
exactly
another one. That's something different. So now we can't. Can I buy a Surface? Can I go to the store and buy a Surface Pro now?
No, you can't, Leo.
But you have one. Paul got
actually
one.
Before we get to the Surface, maybe we should talk about the meetup we have planned for New York on Friday.
Another blogger bash? Mm-hmm.
No.
First of all, what's going on Friday?
So Friday is the at midnight day. Is the launch of the Surface Pro.
And is there going to be a big party?
Well, there's going to be a smallish party.
Will Ballmer be there? Because Ballmer brings the fun.
The problem is we're about to have a major blizzard on the East Coast starting tomorrow.
Which is why it's such a good idea to have the Super Bowl in East Rutherford, New Jersey next year at this time.
I know, exactly. How amazing would that be?
A good idea.
You thought that blackout was bad?
I think New Orleans should just get it permanently.
We're getting like Snowmageddon 2 snowpocalypse this week.
Really? It's going to be a snowpocalypse?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 2 feet of snow.
What could possibly go wrong?
So, yeah, so we were going to have a tweet up and then all go to Best Buy at midnight to go to the Surface Pro launch. Oh, so now we're still thinking about having
a good time. That is awesome. Yeah. Let's all go to Best Buy.
I know.
Let's all go to Best Buy.
Microsoft really knows how to bring it, Leo.
Yeah.
Let's go to a place you don't want to be in broad daylight.
Let's go to Best Buy.
No, and we'll do it at midnight.
Oh, really? That's the best day. Don't they have a Microsoft store?
They had a very nice store in Times Square that was a pop-up store that they closed recently.
Nice timing.
Yeah. We don't really know why they closed it. We think because the lease was up maybe or something like that. So it wasn't very good timing. And so the launch is at Best Buy at midnight. But if this huge snowstorm happens, we're still thinking about doing our tweet up, which is pretty close to the Best Buy. But we're expecting
being at the Best Buy might not be a bad idea because they'll be a nice place to bunk down for the next 3 days when the rest of New York doesn't have electricity.
Snowpocalypse. Yeah, because Best Buy is known for its incredible resilience to bad weather, I believe.
So, yeah, anyway, we're having the tweet up unless something horrible happens. So anybody who heard about our tweet up, it's at this place called the Swift Hibernian Lounge. It's on East 4th Street, not that far from the Best Buy. So we're still going to be there at 9 p.m. if you want to come out in the blizzard and join us.
And to be clear, by we, she means her. Because I will not be going.
Me and like 5 craft beer fans will be there.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, Paul is not going to make it.
Yeah, so I want to
gonna
go.
Be? Actually, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be home, protecting my children.
Oh, you know, snowpocalypse.
I've gotten some guilt from my mother, who's home alone and is worried about, I don't know, banditry or being snowed in, whatever.
Which reminds me, I had completely forgotten, but I have a mother too.
Yes.
And she lives in Providence, just down the road a piece. So while you're there, could you stop by and check on Mom?
I absolutely could do that.
Is Providence going to be part of the snowpocalypse?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Mm. 1 to 2 feet.
That's actually mostly when I talk to my mom is during natural disasters.
Yeah.
My mom
is a natural disaster, so that's just part of the...
Last time, Sandy... And I called her, and she was sitting in a chair in the middle of the room so that no peripheral objects could fly out and strike her, like in The Wizard of Oz.
Jeez. That's amazing.
Hello, honey. I'm sitting in the middle of the room right now.
With a tape measure to make sure of as far as possible.
No, and I couldn't say that wasn't the best thing to do, not having living here on the West Coast where we only have earthquakes, so there's no point in preparation.
Sure.
We don't know ahead of time, as you do, that 3 feet of snow are headed your way.
Well, it's how meteorology is. It's like they're always wrong. This could be a drizzle of rain.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be the blizzard of 78 all over again. It's kind of hard to say.
So when exactly is snowpocalypse scheduled?
Friday through Saturday.
Exactly, yeah. The launch. In fact, that would be if you were going to try to bracket the launch best as possible. That would be
if you could put the launch window in the exact minute that is in the middle of 48 hours of snow.
Just enough to keep you locked into the Best Buy and then a sufficient dusting afterwards to make sure you never leave.
You should have just enough strength to make it to the Best Buy.
Right.
And then not enough to leave.
It's really a Stephen King novel.
It literally is a Stephen King novel.
I saw they're making a movie out of the dome.
They're making a mini series, actually a series, I should say.
With Spielberg.
And it's going to be a summer series, and if it's popular enough, they're going to bring it back each summer as a summer replacement series.
Really?
They're going to keep it like The Walking Dead. Like, why does it have to end? It could be like The Walking Dead.
Sure. That dome's not going anywhere.
Sure.
You could throw in snowpocalypses and everything. All right, so you're going to have a party, Best Buy in New York. Is there a particular Best Buy we should know about? Number 1501 or something? Or
it's the one in Union Square.
Union Square Best Buy.
Best Buy, but, and the tweet up is close by at Swift Hibernian Lounge. So
Swift, what is it?
Tweet up at 9.
That
SwiftNYC.com, I think, was the...
SwiftNYCBar.com. Yep.
Yeah, I didn't get
it. It looks like
a
great place. I was very eager to see it and to drink there. Yeah. And now I will be doing that at home.
So you're doing... does this have beer on tap? Is that the reason for going to the Swift Hibernian Lounge?
Actually, Leo, click on the party info link at the top.
Okay, party
info. There's some nice pictures of the place there.
Look at the menu. Mini cheeseburgers, mini Cuban sandwiches, mini French dip sliders, mini spicy wings, mini farmhouse cheese platter, mini tahini.
A lot of mini foods.
Mini skillet sausages with house beer, Irish smoked salmon with traditional brown bread, crudité platter. You could call it a crudite platter, but I wouldn't. Wow. This is a beautiful room. Now, this means, though, that people under 21 are not allowed, or is that not the case?
I think they can get in, I believe, but they just obviously cannot drink. But
many children listen to Windows Weekly.
Yes, I know. Yeah. We have many 7-year-olds.
Our key target audience.
Yeah. So we don't want to leave them out. No, actually, it's true that when I plan meetups, I really have learned... Mm-hmm. Having them had them in strip clubs for many years, that it's probably better to have them somewhere.
I think I misunderstand the point of this meetup.
Oh, I wasn't meeting fans. No, seriously, I've learned that it's good to have these meetups somewhere where people underage can go, because we have many underage fans, and that's one of the things we really like. That's why we talk about drinking in strip clubs so much on this show.
Right.
Speaking of which, Mary Jo, how did the 40 and 30 go?
Good. Finished it
on
time.
Did you get a t-shirt? What did you get?
I'm getting a mug at my local bar.
With your name on it?
With my name on it. You could actually get anything you wanted inscribed on it.
Oh.
And people have inscribed some weird things.
What is going to be written on yours?
Mine is going to just have my name and say a loyal local. That's it.
And that hangs above the bar so that when you arrive, they just pull it down?
Yep.
And say, oh, Mary Jo, we didn't wash it this week. Is that okay? No, the wheat beer kills the germs. It's okay.
Exactly.
What was your favorite of the... So, for people who are just now discovering Windows Weekly, Mary Jo took the 40 beers in 30 days challenge.
I'm now wondering why they've discovered it.
When are they going to talk about Windows? Because we did peripherally, but we haven't yet really gotten into the meat of it. But I don't want to miss this. This is the highlight of the show for me. 40 beers in 30 days.
Not just for you.
They each is a pint. It's not like a sip.
Right. Right. It was actually 40 beer styles in 30 days.
That's right, yeah. So you wouldn't just be like 40 buds in 40 days. This is like... all kinds.
It was.
Rolling Rock in
40
there?
Minutes.
Is no. No. None of the classics. No PBR in there. Huh?
No.
Wow. No. Narragansett.
Narragansett.
Didn't make the cut.
The champagne of bottled swill. So no. And did you have a favorite? Or I'm sure you had many favorites.
I had many favorites. Yeah. You know what was cool about it was you got to try styles of beer that you normally wouldn't try. So I got to try things like Doppelbocks and triples. Neat. I don't usually drink those kind of heavier, older, more classic styles. So it was fun to try more.
Really neat. Well, we'll look for your mug. Yes. I won't tell people what bar. Just search. Every time you go to a bar in New York City, search for Mary Jo's mug over the bar.
She's like the Hemingway of tech bloggers.
She is. You know? She gets in fights. She
bar fights, brawls. People talk about Mac Minis. Getting me a Mac Mini, I break some bottles. Gets ugly.
So Surface Pro arrives on Friday, but both Paul and Mary Jo have already been playing with it. I presume now that the NDA is up, you can speak of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've had it for a couple of weeks, so you have a pretty good sense.
We can speak of it.
First of all, I guess the big question is battery life, right? Isn't that what everybody wants to know?
Yep. Yeah. That's not great.
It's what everyone thought it was, which is 4 to 5 hours.
Well, it's not awful. That's a laptop life, right?
Right.
Yeah, but
tablet
life. I've been using Ultrabooks for a while. I mean, I have a big 15-inch Ultrabook that gets 6.5 to 7 hours of battery life.
Yeah.
When you get used to that kind of battery life, it feels like going back in time, having to think about it like this, you know, having to worry about battery life.
You're kind of spoiled.
Yeah. I haven't tested this yet, and I know some people probably have, but I'm interested to see whether it supports any form of fast charging where you can plug it in for less than an hour and have it, you know, zoom up some huge percentage of time again. That would be helpful, obviously, but it's not going to help you on a flight. You know, if you're going cross country across the ocean or whatever, you know, 4.5-5 hours. And I guess, you know, it's different on different scenarios too. And I've not tested it this way, but one thing I've noticed just sort of anecdotally is that if you play a movie in like a desktop video player, the battery life is way worse than if you use like the Xbox video app, you know, the Metro app.
Well, that's so good in a way. That means you could, something you could fine tune, right?
Well, something you play. I mean, some, you know, that's a, obviously you have your choice of video apps, but I mean, in
and
some
that
cases,
they could fix that though. I mean,
I the only fix for this is going to be a new device.
Oh dear,
you know, I think.
Although they've hinted that there are things they can do with an update to the operating system that might affect the battery life. They've kind of been hinting that.
I bet that won't be dramatic. Actually, I should say, you know, they also hinted that there are additional pins on the what they're now calling the accessory spine connector, the key, you know, where the keyboard connects. And it's not hard to imagine a slightly thicker keyboard cover that had a battery in it, or something that looked just like the keyboard cover but was just battery that you could kind of carry with you and swap out as needed. So, you know, maybe they'll do something like that. But I honestly, you know, this device, I think given the sort of highly portable nature of it, it's kind of tough to picture, you know, plugging on additional things. Kind of like when you have a smartphone and you get one of those, you know, I don't know what they call them, like a backpack battery that kind of makes the thing much bigger, but finally lets you use the thing all day. You know, that's a compromise of its own kind.
Yeah,
right,
it makes
there.
It heavier and thicker, and
yeah,
we don't really want that either.
Yeah. Although they actually did a really good Ask Me Anything on Reddit yesterday.
I thought that was cool that they did that.
It was really good. And they did. They talked. I'm holding up my Surface right now. And right next to where the magnets are, there are these two weird little connectors. And that's what they were talking about. Like, and they were pretty much hinting, like, we've got some things coming that might help you with your battery life on this. So
yeah, there are little connection plates in there that don't exist in the RT version.
Are they pins? Are they? Is that what they are?
I think that was the term they used.
Yeah, that's what they said. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe new kinds of, you know, keyboard cases, maybe even a dock. You know, whatever the different possibilities.
I am Panos Panay, though. He did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's neat. I think that is an interesting way to acknowledge the geek crowd. It certainly does not reach out to CIOs.
Well, but these are the people who are raising these issues.
Exactly.
You know, in other words, the battery life issue, the amount of storage space left on each of the systems is not an issue.
That's been a little controversial, too.
But also within tech circles. You know, it's the type of thing that normal people won't understand or care about. And frankly,
but what happens is that normal people see a headline or their geek friend says, oh, yeah, I'm a little disappointed by the amount of free space. And then that becomes canon, and it becomes, you know, without explanation, like, yeah, there's low free space on the Surface Pro.
I had a reader tell me via email that they went into Best Buy to find out if there were going to be Surface Pro pre-orders, and they were told that Surface Pro had been delayed because it only had 23 gigabytes of usable space, and they had to fix that problem.
Oh, exactly, right? Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, oh, boy, here we go.
That's how this, you know, it's a game of telephone.
You wonder why they're starting Microsoft Stores.
So, well, let's nail it. What is the free space, and what is the story?
Well, if I understand that from that chat, it's about 10 gigabytes more than what was previously reported. So I think off the top of my head, I think it was 23 gigs free on the 64 and 83-ish on the 128, something like that. So it's actually... you could find it in there somewhere.
Says Fecal Face, nice name. Says, this is why I love Reddit. Says, why did you allocate the storage space the way you did? Surely you could have anticipated the bad press you're currently getting for shipping with relatively low free storage pace. Then many respond. Let's giant panda.
Well, jump down to the yellow. The surf.
Jeez, the names are horrendous.
The Surface guys.
Look for Surface team. That's it.
Yeah.
Don't look at anything else.
Don't look at anything else. All right, I'm just going to backspace because they actually synopsized knowing this would happen right at the top there. We designed Surface Pro and the allocation of disk space in our systems to have the power of full Windows 8.
All right, so anyway, the bottom line is...
I'm reading. I don't see anything yet about memory. Seven gigs.
Gig of additional free space over what was previously reported, plus...
So, well, wait a minute, though. There's 23 gigs available on a 64-gig machine.
Right.
Is that right? There's 83 gigs available on the 128-gig system.
Yep. Well, it's actually 67 gigs.
More than that. So it's 30 on a 64, but it's still less than half.
Right. They talked on Reddit about, some people said, why do you have the disk recovery image in there? Like, why didn't you just put that on a flash drive? Like, why did you guys include that? And they said, we were afraid people might lose the flash drive. And if you want to do that, you can do that yourself.
That's true. Just so you could eliminate it and then add another few gigs.
Let me show you. You've seen this before, Leo. This is the little flash drive that Apple gives
Apple.
You. And you can understand
they don't include it anymore.
Okay, but this is what people are asking for. In other words, why don't you just throw this in the box?
Right.
You know, if you had something like this, which is teeny.
And bootable, which is a good thing to have.
Yeah. This would save several gigabytes of space. Well, I don't remember the exact
figure. Not a huge amount, though.
No, but it's a huge amount when you're talking about 64 gig with only 30 free. I mean, as a percentage, that could make a big difference.
So it's roughly 34 to 38 gigs of something on that drive. That's Windows itself, which is what? How big? 7, 8?
Well, installed. So I'm not actually – I think I would know that off the top of my head. I'm not actually positive. It's Windows and a few apps. It's the recovery partition – the recovery image.
I guess here's the more germane question. Is there enough room on it for you to install – Office? It comes with Office, right?
No, it does not.
Oh, it does not. All right. Is it enough room for it to for you to install what you need and still have enough free space to get work done? I presume that one of the reasons they don't care is because SkyDrive. They hope that you'll use SkyDrive for storage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, I think most people who buy a Pro device are going to want the 128 gigs. Yeah. 128 gigs. You know, anyone who went SSD early knows that 64 gig was the initial allotment we got. Not enough. Right. And 128 made it pretty comfortable. And, you know, and I can look on mine right now. I think I wrote about this today. But, you know, I have 33 gigabytes free out of 110, it reports. And I've loaded this thing up. I've got my complete SkyDrive allotment syncing to it. I didn't, you know, only sync little parts of it or whatever. It's everything I do through SkyDrive. All the apps I use, Photoshop, you know, iTunes, Office, whatever, is all on there. And I think that's the comfort point for most people. I think that... the types of people that would be drawn to this device are going to want the 128 version. The other thing to remember is that this thing has micro SD expansion. You can add 64 gigs for whatever the price of a micro SD card is. And easily.
That's good to know. All right.
Yeah,
well, that's
and you can swap
bad.
That. Of course, you can swap that out. So if you you have movies or other content, you know, that stuff doesn't have to sit on the disk, on the internal disk. You can plug in USB storage if you want as well. So it's not a complete dead end that you know people are making it out to be.
That's not bad, actually. I didn't realize you could put an SD card in there.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yep.
Battery life, we've already addressed that a little bit.
Mary Jo, do you have both of those devices nearby?
I do.
Let's see the thickness.
Yeah, why don't you show them the thickness difference? I'd show you mine, but it's plugged into like 30 different cables.
So let's see. The top here is the Surface Pro.
A little higher with the RT there. A little higher.
Yep.
Go up with the IT. Down with the Pro. Down, up, down, up with the RT. Bottom one up. Top one. There you go.
Top one is the Pro.
So it's,
bottom one
is 50% thicker, something like that.
It actually isn't that much thicker, but it's amazing how much thicker it does look.
Yeah, it does.
And feel. You know? It's weird.
Yeah.
It's only 2 pounds, but because it's in this smaller size package, it's very dense. Like when you pick it up, you're like, whoa, you know? And that to me is the one thing that limits it as an entertainment tablet, because like reading on that, it would get really heavy fast in your hand if you actually tried to do that. If you put it on your lap, okay, not so much.
Yeah.
Have you tried it like that, though? I find that portrait orientation.
No, I don't like that at all.
It's something weird. It's like too tall and thin, kind of.
It is. Way too tall and thin. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny because I was saying to Paul, I also felt like the cover, the type cover, is a little more sturdy and a little bit thicker, although they claim it's the same and you can use the ones that you already have interchangeably. But I noticed on the Reddit thing, they said they solved some of the sound issues that were plaguing the Surface RT. So I wonder if that has to do with the cover at all.
Hmm. Yeah, she asked me that.
People were saying they had that problem with the sound.
Right. Sound. You did. You weighed them, right, on your – you have a scale.
I weighed them
scale.
On my beer scale. I did. And it was actually weird because the brand new type cover weighed in at like an ounce or I forget exactly how much, but slightly lighter, but it feels thicker. So I don't know. I think they
thicker,
did some
but lighter.
Tweaking to the covers. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
What are the positives?
That was the positives, Leo. No.
What is the good stuff?
It's powerful. It's a PC. I mean, it's a Core i5 with 4 gigs of RAM. It's got a 1080p display. It's
potentially very high resolution, right? That's one of the things they said with the Pogo pins is that, well, as you may notice, we are capable of driving larger screens.
Yeah, and it does. It does do that. It certainly can. You know, it has DisplayPort for video out. I did a presentation with this the other night, and you know, you do like a display port to VGA, and if you want to see what Surface looks like at 1024x768, I can assure you, it is not pretty, but it does do it. You know, it will go all the way back. You know, and so it gives you the ability, to run real desktop applications. You know, Photoshop, iTunes, you know, the Windows Live Essentials apps that are now not called Windows Live Essentials. SkyDrive application for desktop sync of content, the full versions of Office. I mean, all that stuff, you know, Chrome and all the browser add-ins you may want to do. And it's completely compatible with all of the Windows the hardware devices you would plug into a Windows PC. And so this thing, I've got it going through a USB docking station. I've connected it to every peripheral imaginable, including such things as, you know, a video encoder so I can record screens off of an Xbox 360 and, you know, the Skype setup that you've sent over here with the M-Audio fast track device and all that stuff. I mean, everything, it just works, you know, because it's a PC, you know, no surprise.
Yeah. So powerful PC. 4 gigs is a little lightweight, but I guess not unusable. It's 64-bit operating system, so it could have been more, I guess.
I know, you know, as a power user, I kind of knee-jerk my way to the highest end specs imaginable on most of the computers I have. Always, so my Ultrabook has 8 gigs of RAM. Right. My desktop computer has 8 gigs of RAM. My desktop is an i7, whatever the fastest processor you could get at the time was last year. You know, this thing is compared to those, is a little more toward the middle range. But the truth is, it's still incredibly capable. You can run Hyper-V on this thing. You can run a virtual machine. You can run high-end, you know, CAD software, 3D software. You can run, like I said, Photoshop. It has that digitizer layer on the screen, which the Surface RT does not have. And it comes with that electromagnetic pen that's pressure sensitive. It has the eraser on the other end. One of the things I'm going to be writing about in the future, I'm writing a series of articles about the device, is this note. And this is not something I need personally, but if you've ever used like a Wacom tablet and, you know, you're writing on the tablet with a pen, but you're looking up at the screen. Obviously, the Surface supports writing directly on the tablet, and what you're writing on it's like writing on paper. But you can also drive a second screen, turn off the Surface's screen, and basically use it as a 10.6-inch high-resolution Wacom tablet. That's a potentially very exciting feature, I think, for a certain crowd of people. And so there are a lot of kind of high-end uses for it that don't just differentiate it from Surface RT, but differentiate it from other even touch-based kind of hybrid computers just because it has more stuff going on.
another little funny thing from the Reddit chat. They like dropped all these little weird and interesting hints. They told us in the Reddit chat that February 12th, which is next week, they're going to have an update for the Surface RT that's going to help with Wi-Fi connection issues. And that there'll be another update coming March 12th also about Wi-Fi issues. So that was good news for people with the Surface RT. And they also said more colors are coming on both the Touch and the Type covers.
Ah.
So right now, Type cover is only black. A lot of people are like, hey, I like it, but I wish I could get that in color too. They didn't say when, but more colors for covers are coming.
Would that also apply to RT?
Yeah, because both covers, both kinds of covers can be used with either device.
Oh, they're agnostic. Yeah, because I didn't like it. I mean, I like the Type cover, but I want purple or something.
Yeah.
49ers.
I think they also gold and there's red. An update coming for battery life. I'm sorry, on for volume.
Dream on. Bald. Dream on.
No, I mean, yeah. No, I actually mean for Surface RT. I thought they said something about an update to potentially make the volume on the Surface RT a little bit better as well.
Oh. Yeah,
through soft.
I could say that.
Because it is kind of a soft device. That's one of those things, for whatever reason, this one clearly sounds better. It's louder.
Yeah. Louder, is it louder and better, or just louder? Just
louder and better, yeah, yes, exactly. No, just louder.
And then the display yeah, issue that Paul wrote about in his review, the having to boost the resolution up 150% for the desktop, they admit there's a fix coming for Windows 8 for that.
I cannot believe they admitted to this.
They did.
I was really shocked. No, I mean, I know they did. I'm just shocked that they did. I don't mean you just lied to us, Mary.
I can't believe that, Mary. Mary Jo, come on.
I've had enough of this.
Prevarication.
What I mean by that is that obviously this Metro stuff is the future, and that a lot of their time and effort is being pushed toward that kind of stuff. And when you deal with external displays on Windows, and this is not a Windows 8 issue, this is something that's been around forever. This happens on Windows 7. Anyone who has used a laptop with a docking solution of any kind and has driven a display that is a different resolution than their laptop knows exactly what I'm talking about, that there's a weirdness to it. And the weirdness is kind of multifaceted, but what she was just describing was the display scaling effect. So when you think about a 1080p display on a really tiny screen, and you compare it to, say, what's going on in the Apple world, because that's, I think, a comparison that will make sense to a lot of people. Systems like the iPad or the Metro part of Windows 8 are not completely, but just for all intents and purposes, resolution independent, in the sense that they work, the software works well at multiple resolutions.
It doesn't move all your icons to the side of the screen.
Yes, yes.
And then the Windows desktop resizes.
Right.
The Windows desktop does that does not happen on the Mac desktop, I have to say. It's
okay.
Kind of a problem. Okay.
So Windows desktop, even worse.
Yeah.
If you were just going to use this machine by itself, you could bump the scaling of the display up to 150%. It does not impact Metro at all. The desktop would look better. You'd be able to actually read the icons and, you know, see text and everything. That works fine. But when you then extend that display to a big screen like the one I'm using, or actually the way I'm using it is not to extend it, but to just use the second screen, which has the same resolution, you know, 1080p. All of a sudden, the icons are like this big. It looks like a Fisher-Price thing. It's like these ludicrous giant icons. I mean, my vision's not perfect, but I'm not that far gone. You know, like I don't have to have, you know, the text doesn't all have to be 72 type or whatever. Right. So, or 72 point type. There's no happy middle ground on this. This is the first weekend I had this device. I mean, I have Tourette's, I think, mostly all the time anyway, using a computer. But that weekend was unbelievable. I'm surprised I wasn't committed. Like, I wanted to kill this thing.
Oh, no.
And it just doesn't. It's not this machine's fault. It's just the difference. It's the same exact resolution, but the display size differences are so vast that there is no way to settle on one scaling type that works on both. And Windows is not sophisticated on the desktop part to support different display scaling on each monitor.
Right.
You know, and again, because we're moving forward to Metro, I just sort of figured they're never going to fix this, because this is a problem from the past. You know, fewer and fewer people will be having this problem going forward, because if Metro gets sophisticated enough, you know, it's just not going to matter. but it matters a lot today. it's a big
Well, it's something they could easily address in an update, though, right? I mean, it's not. Or maybe not.
I don't know. Easily. But but like Mary Jo said, they are apparently going to do it. So really curious to see that.
I think they have to because, you know, the desktop on these kind of devices, which are really PCs, really matters a lot more than, say, on a Surface RT, right, where the desktop doesn't do a whole lot. So if you don't have a really great desktop that's very usable for people who want to use it with the external monitors and all, it's going to really limit how many business users are going to want this thing. So they have to fix it.
And, you know, and when you have different display resolutions on different size screens, too, there are additional problems that can occur where you could do something really, like I could just unplug the display and then plug it back in. And what will happen is the display of the system will go down to the device for a second, and then it will jump back out to the big screen, and it will adjust the resolution as it does it. And then all of those windows that you have open, all of them are going to resize. And the biggest they can be is the resolution of the smaller resolution device. So they will resize to some strange aspect ratio as well, because it's that size minus the height of the taskbar. And then they will also all reposition so they're all jammed up in the top left corner of the screen. It's awesome, Leo. This system is so well designed.
I wonder if anybody used it, or they must have known it was going to do that, right?
They had to have known. So this has been a problem for years.
They just said, well, you know, this is, yeah, exactly. That's what they said. This has been a problem for years.
Yep.
What do you expect for nothing?
I wonder if they supported different scaling for each display, if that would almost solve it. It wouldn't solve all the problems, but I wonder if that would do a lot of it. It might.
I'm sure that they can somehow fix that.
I don't know. The other one is, you know, early reports, you know, people who had seen this thing at CES universally said, amazingly, for pretty high-end Core i5 processor, that this system was silent. And I can tell you, using it every day plugged into a dock, this thing is not silent.
You hear the...
You hear the fans.
You hear the fans.
Yeah.
And when you say fans, plural, there's multiple fans.
There are two fans. It does have a really elegant and apparently well-designed... I don't want to call it... I guess it's not really a passive cooling system, but a venting system that lets the heat exit the machine, and it's smart enough not to send it out where you're holding it. So if you're holding it in portrait orientation, it will send it out through the top and bottom. If you're holding it in the horizontal landscape orientation, it will send out the heat through the top and bottom. Hmm. Again, not where your hands would be. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. But, you know, something about what we're doing, you know, me sending video over Skype, and I'm not doing anything else with the computer. And the fan is running continually while we do the podcast. You know, obviously if I encode
video...
Well, that's
a challenge. I'm not surprised. I mean, that's a fairly challenging application.
Yeah. Yeah. So it does kick in.
Yeah. All right.
You know, like it does in an iPad.
Yeah. Like it does. Like, yeah. I mean, you're the one who wanted Clover Trail. You think Clover Trail would fix it? It's still going to have a fan.
Actually, Clover Trail does not have a fan. So okay. Clover Trail would fix that problem. But the problem with Clover Trail is it only supports up to 2 gigabytes of RAM.
Oh, that sucks. What?
I know, it's crazy.
What? Wait a minute. What?
32-bit, but it doesn't go up to 4. It goes up to 2.
Oh, well, that's not going to happen.
I know, it's nuts. Actually, if you could just have a 4 gigabyte of RAM system on Clover Trail, that would be...
Did you know this before? Have you been holding out on me?
I did know this. What do you mean?
I've been waiting for Clover Trail. I didn't know that. That's a deal
Clover
breaker.
Clover Trail's out. It's out now.
Oh, Haswell, we're waiting for.
Haswell,
we're waiting for.
Haswell is a little bit of an unknown, but speaking roughly, I would say Haswell is probably an Ivory Bridge successor, meaning it has none of those limitations like Clover Trail has. Right. But it has some of the power management attributes of Clover Trail, hopefully connected standby and so forth. I suspect Haswell systems will still have fans. But I also think they're going to be far more efficient than today's Ivory Bridge systems.
Let's talk about compatibility. Everything works as expected, hardware and software. It's Windows.
Yep. I haven't had... Have you seen anything, Mary Jo, that's...
No.
Not working? Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yep.
And if you go if you start working in the desktop, you feel pretty much like you're using a Windows machine, right?
I'm using, you know, the way I've been using it here at home, you know, a lot of the times I forget that I'm not using the same old computer I was using before. I have it connected to the same, you know, monitor, keyboard, mouse, the webcam, everything. So for a lot of the time, I sort of forget.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I do have that scaling thing. So for example, in OneNote, because OneNote is a Microsoft app and they actually write these things to respect the scaling, the font sizes are actually kind of enormous right now. And that's driving me a little crazy, but I mean, for the most part, it's a lot like, you know, the regular desktop, yeah, PC experience. It's not really that different. Mm-hmm. I can't touch my screen.
I know. That's, it's funny when you get used to that. That is actually a toughie.
Yeah.
Have you played Call of Duty or any high requirement video game on it yet?
Yeah, I don't have the latest Call of Duty games. The most recent one on the PC. The most recent one I have is that World of War game, and I've tried Bulletstorm, which I actually bought on Steam just to test. It's not a 2002. I think it came out in 2011, probably. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But Bulletstorm is one of those crazy games. It's kind of like the I almost said Son of Sam, the Serious Sam games, where it kind of throws a lot of stuff at you.
Forgot about Serious Sam.
Yeah, Serious Sam was a classic.
What a great game.
So yeah, it runs great. Again, the fan kicks in. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
You know, when you run a game like that.
The frame rates are acceptable and all of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's completely play. It's just fine. It works fine.
Cool. What is the video graphics system? Is it the Intel system or do they have something better?
Yeah, no, it's just Intel integrated. I think it's HD 4000. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. Anything else you want to say about Surface Pro before we go? Think about it.
One cute thing that I liked that came with my trial pack. This is the Surface
that mouse
that's made to go with the Surface Pro. And since I love using the mouse,
it's a wedge mouse. And you like the wedge mouse.
I do.
You like this?
I liked it. I didn't think I was going to like it because I haven't liked most of the new Microsoft mice. Right. It's a Bluetooth mouse, though, so it does kind of drain your battery a little. You have that on.
Mary Jo, if we didn't like beer, I don't know that we would have anything in common.
I know. I agree.
The truth.
I asked that. The mouse thing, out. Like, I my hands are way too big to use this thing. I actually get this gets caught between my fingers because it's so small. But I asked Microsoft, because I have one of these from before. I said, I don't understand what makes this a Surface version of this. And they said, it's black.
The sides are black. Yep, that's the difference.
It's black. It's like the same color as Surface. Okay, so there you go.
It's black. All right, we come back in a moment and we'll talk more. Paul Thrott, Mary Jo Foley, the latest news from Redmond, Washington. I would like to encourage you all, however, to try our newest sponsor, Podio. Did I talk about Podio? We probably talked about it last week. Podio.com. You know about Podio? Podio is an amazing service, brand new from Citrix. I'm a big fan. It allows you to, well, how can I describe this? This is the hardest thing with Podio. You know, a video would, I've got a video here. We'll speak 1,000 words. Let me run that. If I could figure out how to switch to the video. Here we go. It's project management made simple. Here's a Podio workspace you can see. Right here. The idea, frankly, is if you're in business, you've got all your stuff in a million different places, email and spreadsheets and documents, lots of places all over the desktop. The idea is to collate it all into Podio, and it works with everything. Works with SkyDrive, works with Google Docs, works with everything. You can import all your contacts. Actually, you don't even have to import them. You work with all your contacts. You can manage all your products. It's got a timeline. It's kind of like Twitter, where you can communicate very quickly and easily with the people on your team. You have different workspaces for different projects. You're completely customizable. And that's kind of part of the problem, is that until you actually play with it, it might be hard to really understand what you could do with it. We found lots of ways to use Podio here, and we think you'd be very interested
and trying it. So we've set up a free trial. All you have to do is go to podio.com. I invite you, though, not just to set up, but to set up your first workspace and invite your team so that you can see how it works. Podio.com. There's no offer code, nothing you need to know. Just go there and try it for free and see. And as you use it more and more, then there are premium versions of Podio, but it's freemium. So you can try it absolutely fully for free at podio.com. If you've been trying to manage a complex project, try to keep a team on track, if you've got deliverables, receivables, I don't know, all the bulls, this will handle it for you. For coworkers, clients, and external contacts, it is really cool. See all the file providers, Box and Dropbox and SkyDrive and Google Docs. It's really cool. Podio.com. Please give it a try today. We really like it here at the Twit Brickhouse. We've been using it for a lot of projects. We've been very pleased with it. Windows Weekly, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Let's talk about... It says, why... This is a question you pose in the notes, and I think it's a good one. Why Surface RT, then Surface Pro? What was the reasoning behind that?
That was another thing that came out of the Reddit AMA. And this was really surprising to me in a lot of ways. This is what they're saying. They say the reason there was that three-month gap, RT came first, then Pro, was because they created the RT team, the Surface RT team, 3 months before they created the Surface Pro team.
How funny.
Yeah, so just, because I just considered it one big team, Surface, yeah. You know, and... they say no. They say there were actually two different teams. The other team didn't get staffed up for 3 months, and that's why there was a three-month delay.
Huh.
Believe it or not.
So there's no technical.
Believe that.
You choose. Oh, Paul, you think they're Mr. Conspiracy Theory here? You think there's another?
I don't know. I sort of thought this through. Like many people, I think that Microsoft should have done it in the opposite direction, that the Surface Pro, which is the one that's compatible with all of the stuff that people use today, would have made more sense at launch.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that they were launching Windows 8. I think it was a very confusing thing. I know it was a very confusing thing for people that Microsoft launched Windows 8 and Surface with Windows RT on the same day. You know, people were kind of blown away by that because they look the same, but they're not. It's a right. very important distinction.
Right.
Also, there was no ecosystem available for Surface RT when it first came out. There were very few apps. Content, you know, the media content wasn't that great. And these are things that improve over time. You know, Surface RT, I'm not suggesting in the slightest that Surface RT would have been a blockbuster success if they launched it right now. But it would have been less of a risky bet than I think it was in October. You know, I just find it kind of odd. The way that they launched those two products.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that when you come out with a device that gets 9-10 hours of battery life.
And then.
You know, you're like, yeah, this sounds pretty good.
Yeah. And then go backwards. Yeah. That's a little challenging, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's talk about Blue.
Yeah. Let's talk about Blue.
It's not just this Windows thing anymore.
No. Which is crazy. So, yeah, the original way we got the leak tip on Blue was... It was the next version of Windows. Right. It was codenamed Blue. And then I've been kind of trolling around for some new tips on Blue. And it turns out when I started digging around that one of my sources who's been very accurate on Windows rumors in the past said, well, you guys are acting like there's one thing that's Blue. There's actually a whole bunch of things that are Blue. Like there's a Windows Phone Blue and there's a Windows Server Blue. There's going to be like a Blue release of Hotmail, SkyDrive. So... It turns out that Blue is more like a wave of things than it is one thing. And Microsoft's goal is to introduce, all of these are going to be major, in quotes, platform releases. And I say in quotes because what they really are is the 1 year out update to all of these things. So Windows Blue is the 1 year after Windows 8 successor to Windows 8. And it's going to have some new features, so it's not just a service pack.
Not just a service pack. That's
no,
interesting.
No, not just a service pack.
Because that's kind of what we were thinking.
No. Yeah. Not going to be that. And Windows Phone Blue. So there's going to be a few interim updates for Windows Phone, like the Portico update that's already out now, and maybe a couple others. And then there'll be this thing that's Windows Phone Blue that'll line up somewhat time-wise with Windows Blue. May not be exactly on the same time frame, but it's meant to be like part of this rolling wave of platform updates that are going to be coming more frequently from Microsoft across all of its products and services. So it's a way bigger deal. Blue is a way bigger deal than we thought it was.
It's good, I guess.
It is.
And this is going to be the new thing, right? Every year, something new.
Yeah, supposedly every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're just kind of like dismissing this as, oh, yeah, every year they're going to come out with a new release of Windows. And, you know, for Microsoft, this is huge because the way the whole Windows organization is set up inside Microsoft is to come out with something every 3 years. That's how their design process is structured. That's how their tools are structured. That's how the team was structured. And now they're going to start trying to do this every year. So it means very, very deep-seated changes to everything from like how the team is structured to how they actually deliver a product. Like, is this going to come out through Windows Update? And if it does, how are they going to charge for it? If they do charge for it. So there are a whole bunch of like rolling implications that this idea of moving from a every 3 year to an every 1 year process entails. So it's really a big deal.
Actually. How do you think consumers are going to react? They seem to like it on the Mac side. But it does change the way you do Windows because up to now, Windows upgrades have always been a new computer.
Right.
You don't have to change things too much. I mean, between Windows 95 and Windows 98, they did a bunch of, you know, OSR updates or whatever. And the way those things were delivered was with new PCs because that's how most people still acquire Windows.
Right.
You could just add on to that model and allow people with existing computers to buy it very cheaply or get it for free, you know, through Windows Update or through the Windows Store, however they want to do it. And I think that's a good model. I mean, it is a huge change for Windows, you know, for the team and for Microsoft. But honestly, I think this is something that users can slip into very naturally.
Okay. Users are going to love it.
I think
The question is how are enterprise users going to like it, though?
Yeah,
right?
That's different. So users like us are excited because there's something new. We'll install it just because it's new.
Sure.
Enterprise is the exact opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, it is pretty much. So I'm sure there's going to be like a blocking mechanism for this. There has to be.
Yep.
There has to be, right? Like there is for IE. Like if you don't want the latest version of IE, Microsoft has this toolkit you can use to block it from being automatically installed to all of your users.
Right.
At some point, you have to take the upgrade, but you have some time to do your testing and decide how you want it deployed. And I think they're going to have to do something like that for business users, too, with the Windows update.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I suppose the good news, such as it is that by the time this thing arrives, not that many businesses will have rolled out Windows 8. The way Microsoft has done things in the past, knowing them, by the time there's a Windows 8, you know, our businesses will have this choice of the two or three different Windows 8 revisions, and they're free to roll out whichever one of those they want, and I'm sure they will do that.
All right. And when you say new products, are we talking new hardware products? What are we talking when you say new products? I mean, you've got phone, you've got tablets. What else could there be out there?
As far as what's going to
be. Well,
you said
that blue might represent new stuff too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, so also services too, right? So
services, I get it. So it's not
like
just
Hotmail.
Okay.
Yep. Hotmail, okay. Maybe Outlook.com, SkyDrive, right. All these things are going to be refreshed more frequently
as well.
The return
of Windows Live.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, no.
No. I got you. Almost got you on that one.
The return of next generation Windows services. The return of Hailstorm. And XP Reloaded.
Yep. So so new is like new services, new online features, things like
that. And also Windows Server too, which is interesting. Because basically we now know there's no more service packs really coming for Windows, Windows Server. That whole model is gone now for those things. So in its place, you're going to get these feature packs. And Windows Server is going to get this too, supposedly, probably around the same time that Windows Client gets it. And they'll have some updates, I would think, that would make servers better citizens in the cloud and probably take some things that come out first in Windows Azure and put them back into Windows Server. So that's also going to be a blue release, although probably not exactly the same blue as the Windows client.
Well, this kind of muddies the meaning of blue. What the hell is blue?
Blue just means version next, right?
So of anything.
Yeah.
Whatever we got. Yeah. Just the next version.
Yeah.
Too bad that name next is taken.
It's blue like a wave.
It's blue like a lagoon.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Will blue get the Outlook calendar? Where is that Outlook calendar thing?
Wait a minute. There's no calendar.
Every time I ask, they have no comment on this.
I know. We don't know.
I don't remember when they came out with this exactly. It was sometime last summer. And I remember being a little accepting of this notion that, most people use the calendar on the phone. We'll get to that. We just wanted to get the other stuff out quickly. Yeah, okay. But it's like February now. how hard could it be to update the calendar, on the web? It's really strange. It's like that old Windows Live experience still.
I wonder if it has to do with the whole Google CalDAV thing.
Oh, God. I hope so.
Do you think it might have something to do with that? Like Microsoft... incorporating CalDAV into Windows Phone, but not into Windows, and what the implications are there.
I don't know. I mean, it seems to me it's just a visual thing.
Yeah, it's more a Metro-style thing, right?
Yeah, so I don't know. But, yeah, this is the one thing that they are not interested in discussing this topic. So
they're actually rebranding it Xbox Calendar, and it's going to be out.
Yes.
With Xbox 720. Right.
When you actually successfully have 10 meetings in a row, you get an achievement.
Achievements. That's what Outlook needs.
I need scheduling achievements.
You are prestige level 11 on appointments.
God, you are a busy guy. Achievement unlocked.
The gamification of everything. Also, maybe mini tablets. we know that Apple's had some real success with the iPad mini. We also see coming from the other end, bigger and bigger phones. Mm-hmm. I see perhaps a rumor that smaller screen sizes are not out of the question.
You know, and this is one of those things you kind of had to read between the lines, because I was talking with Tammy Reller, who's the chief financial officer on Windows client recently. And up until this point, when you ask Microsoft, are you going to do a mini Surface, or are you going to have any OEMs do smaller size tablets or not? And it was always kind of like, tablets are PCs. And we think, the 10-inch screen, that's like kind of as small as you want to go. You don't really want to get smaller, because then you're no longer a full consumption and creation device.
So funny, because that's what Steve Jobs said for so long.
Yes. But when I asked Tammy Reller this last week, when I saw her, she didn't say, yeah, we're going to have a mini Surface, or yeah, we're going to let the OEMs do this. But she said, that screen size is pretty interesting, and we're watching to see what consumers think. And I'm like, oh, so that's a whole different answer now, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. So maybe there's a mini Surface in the wings, or maybe there's well, there's already a rumor of an HTC tablet. I think a 7-inch tablet. There's already that rumor out there.
I think we're also getting to the point, though, where Windows Phone and Windows need to kind of combine. It's silly to me that there is an artificial distinction between these things. And this should be Windows Phone apps, by and large, and I'm talking about the built-in apps for the most part, are portrait oriented, which is not true of Windows 8 apps. But it's not that hard to imagine wanting to run Windows Phone style app snap to the side of the screen on a big device or big PC, and have another app running on the rest of the screen, and that a lot of these kind of silly and hopefully temporary differences between the systems could be overcome. That the Mail app in Windows 8 is pretty lousy, but the Mail app in Windows Phone app in Windows Phone 8 is actually pretty good. Why isn't that just the same app? Just tailored for that resolution or device type or whatever. And that this whole thing about mini tablets or phablets, which are kind of like giant phones, that distinction could just go away. That you could have Windows that would run across all of these device types and sizes and screen orientations, and that the only real difference between a phone and a non-phone is that the phone has an app in it that lets you make a phone call. You know, it's getting to the point where this stuff is, it seems to me, is getting sort of arbitrary.
You might not even need it. And we've talked about this a little bit in terms of the iPad mini, which I think would make a great phone because I don't want to carry both a mini and a phone. And we've talked about, well you do even need a cell carrier anymore because you've got Skype, you've got connectivity.
Sure.
Why not? You know, anything could be a phone now.
Yeah, right. There's no reason a Windows 8 tablet couldn't have a phone app.
I don't even need a carrier.
No, but you could.
I mean, nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a threat, I think, to the carriers. And if the carriers don't play ball, remember.
Yeah, and a Windows, like a Surface Pro phone with like a fan going and 4.5 hours of battery life.
What? What?
Oh, that is a Cadillac of cars.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Hold on, I'm getting a phone call. And you have to, like, hold that giant Surface thing next to your head.
Now that's silly.
It just burns your ear off because it's running so much.
We'll all get used to that.
Yeah. But, you know, again, this kind of comes full circle with Blue, right? Because part of the rumor about Blue is they're actually going to make some changes down even like at the kernel level and at the driver level. And if those same changes are both done to phone and to Windows itself, then you're kind of blurring the boundary between the two even more, right? So maybe we're going to see something like that.
I just think it seems almost natural that they would evolve in that direction. You know, now that Windows Phone 8 is Windows 8.
Yep.
For some reason, they have different apps. You know, I mean, there are Windows phones with really high resolutions, and there's no reason they couldn't be higher. There's no reason it couldn't be 1366 by 768. You know, it's not hard to imagine. So, you know, maybe Windows 9.
Someday.
Yeah. Which still exists, by the way. That was a question a lot of people were asking.
I thought we weren't going to be doing versions anymore.
Right.
No, we're not doing service packs, Leo.
Oh.
Yeah. They're not service packs. So, you know, the question was, will Microsoft just start doing colors now? Like, okay, they'll be blue, then they'll be like burnt sienna.
Burnt sienna.
Right. Like, are we just going to get away from numbers? But then recently one of my sources found for me a job post. Well, he found two things. Job posting mentioning Windows 9, and he also found a guy's LinkedIn profile saying, "Hey, I'm on the Windows 9 team in India. I'm working on it. Yay!" So Windows 9 still exists.
That's at least that's what they told me.
Yeah. It's actually Skype for DOS.
Hey, I'm on the Windows 9 team. We're going to take a break and come back now that I've made my requisite racist accent quota achievement. Which prestige level. We're going to come back. I want to talk about this Dell thing.
Yep.
And I got to ask you about the new Scroogle. Kind of leaked out because I guess you probably were all embargoed. A lot of people were embargoed, but somebody found out about it and the embargo's
off. I actually hadn't heard of it in advance, but
take a look at
it. I am a fan of the Scroogle stuff.
You love the Scroogle. There's a new Scroogle in town. But first, let's talk about how you share files. Now, there are a lot of different ways to share files with clients and colleagues, and I've tried them all. We use a number of them. But there's one I really like. It's called Share File. Sending email attachments. Yeah, maybe convenient for you, but they're often too big for the mailboxes they're going to, so they bounce back. That's a waste of time and energy. And not only that, it's a security issue. Putting your files into online boxes for others to access. I'm not going to name names, but you kind of, you know, there's this little thing. Well, how much control do I have? How secure is this? That's why ShareFile from Citrix was created. A better solution for business to share files. Compliant with the regulations in many cases. For instance, if you're a medical professional, it's HIPAA compliant. Accountants, lawyers, and other business professionals all using ShareFile. It's tax time. How do you want your account to share your tax return with you? By email? I think not. Via mega upload? I think not. ShareFile. It's easy for anyone to use. It allows you to send files of almost any size completely securely. You track the progress of your files. You control them, too. And I use this all the time when I send stuff to the various radio stations, you know, voice tracks and stuff. These are big files. I don't want to send them by email attachments. With ShareFile, you can use the Outlook plugin, and it looks just like you're sending email. You're not. But you can also, here's my ShareFile window, do it like this. So let's say, okay, here's an ad I need to mail to a radio station. Now, I could press send in the web browser. By the way, these ads are in the ShareFile box because I'm using the ShareFile extension that automatically syncs them. I'll just launch the desktop sync widget here, and you'll see how it works. ShareFile sync, automatically syncing these two folders, all right? So every time I drag something to a folder, it's automatically available on ShareFile. I could send it as an email here, or, and this is how I like to do it, give me a link that I can send via IM or in my email software. And these are the parameters. They're kind of email me when the item's been downloaded. Require recipients to enter name and email before downloading. You could say when the access expires. You could say after a day, that's it, or forever, or anything in between. You have as many downloads as you want. Now when I send the file, I'm going to get a link. This is a secure link, HTTPS. Watch, I'll just paste it in my browser and show you what they get. So this is what your client's going to get. By the way, notice it's branded, your logo. You get the file, a download button, that's it. They don't have to log in. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to have an account with ShareFile. This is sweet. And by the way, if you use ShareFile, you also get the benefit of online cloud accessibility to all your ShareFiles, which means sometimes people say, oh, I didn't get the email. What did you send me? And I can do it from my phone or from my tablet as well. I could see all the files. I could say, send that file. Very handy. Notifications are automatically sent via email when the files are open. You control who has access. You can even assign and edit files for streamlined collaboration. So this is a great service. I want you to try it free, a special ShareFile free offer for you. Sign up today. No credit card required. You got nothing to lose. That's nice. I like it when they do that. Just go to ShareFile.com. Click the microphone. Enter Windows. You don't need a credit card. Just the offer code. Windows. At ShareFile.com. Please do me a favor. Try it. I think you'll like it. ShareFile.com. We're talking about Windows. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley on Windows Weekly. What about this Dell thing? I like it. Michael Dell is buying Dell back from the stockholders, the shareholders, with a little help, including Microsoft. Putting what, $2
billion little help.
Little help from my friends. He's got good friends. What do you think? What is their plan? And what is Microsoft's stake in this? What do they get out of this?
Yeah, you know, to me, the most interesting part was the change in what the original rumor about what Microsoft was going to do versus what they actually ended up doing. Because earlier when this news started leaking out a couple weeks ago, the rumor was Microsoft was going to invest in Dell and like actually own a stake in Dell. When the actual announcement came out, it was Microsoft is loaning Dell $2 billion.
Michael Dell.
And they don't, right. They don't have a seat on the Dell board, which a lot of people were wondering if that was going to happen. And it's not even clear what they're getting out of this beyond the interest on the loan, obviously. But are they actually having any influence on policies in Dell, where Dell's going, product strategy, any of that? We don't really have a sense. And Microsoft's statement on this was like two lines. Like, we loaned Dell $2 billion to help them go private.
You know what? It makes sense. They want to keep one of their primary, if not the primary, OEM. Well, I guess HP's bigger. Lenovo might be a little bigger. But they want to keep that strong, solvent. They're not going to lose any money on this. It's probably smart of them not to have a stake in Dell, not to have a seat on the board. That might be a conflict of interest with the other OEMs. They just want to, prop up Dell. They like this idea. Doesn't that... Is that not sufficient?
I think it is.
Yeah. I mean, they're not losing money. They're going to get paid back.
Yep.
If I'm
friends
Michael
help
Dell,
each other, Leo.
Yeah, friends help. If I'm Michael Dell, I say to them, look, this can't continue. Something's going to happen. Something's got to give here. I cannot do what I need to do building innovative machines if I have to report every quarter to the stakeholders, and you know, I'm going to have to, they're tying my hands. Help me out here, and I will make you stuff as good as Surface. I will be great doing great stuff. Why wouldn't Microsoft do that?
Yeah.
Adele's in a, sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, there's also a lot of speculation. Is Microsoft doing this to try to persuade them not to do anything like do Chromebooks like HP, right? Or go Android with anything? Again, I don't know if there's any real...
There could be covenants in this agreement, right?
There could be. Yep.
They did that to Apple, right?
Gentleman's agreement, you know?
They did, yeah. But Apple was $100 million, not $2 billion, but...
Yeah,
I like it, and I think Michael Dell, frankly, I have a lot of respect for Michael Dell. I think he's a smart guy. Yeah. And Silver Lake is another partner in this. They obviously, Dell doesn't have, what was it, $23 billion to spend on this.
Yeah.
The other, yeah. What if the other
Dell almost had that much, actually. He has a lot of money.
He's doing all right. What if there were something going on behind the scenes? What if Google had been, like, trying to buy them? Or Apple had been trying to buy them, both of whom have enough cash.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe Microsoft said, no, we cannot afford to lose a major OEM.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons.
I never heard about any other company wanting them, but certainly their stock price has fallen far enough that they become an attractive takeover target.
Right.
You know, this stock had fallen to I think it was the $10 range. And the buyout price here is somewhere in the $13 range. So obviously they've fallen... You know, they've fallen pretty far.
Yeah. You know, the other interesting thing about the new Dell, like the Dell that's going private, is they're already starting to transition away from being a PC OEM, right? Like they're more, right now that's still the lion's share of their business. But they're buying up services companies. They're trying to get into more like the enterprise services business, consulting, when they bought Perot Systems. And the question is, you know, what's Microsoft's interest in that kind of a Dell? Like, you can see why they want to prop up somebody who's a Windows OEM or a Windows Phone OEM. But, like, why are they propping up somebody who is kind of getting away or trying to get away from being a strict PC OEM? And what's their interest there? That's another question we don't really know any answers to.
Well, but maybe that's the point. Maybe this keeps them... going down that road a little bit more than maybe they would have otherwise. Maybe
true.
You know, Dell has tried smartphones, has tried tablets, has not done a good job at either one of those things. And maybe there'll be a commitment now to go after Microsoft's platforms. And
Dell never did a Windows phone, or yeah, they did, but the Streak
they
was,
did yep. do one. Yeah, the no, it Venue was the Pro. Venue Pro. Yeah, right. It was a nice little phone too. It was the only. Yeah. No, not the only. It was one of the only two in the United States anyway that had a physical keyboard.
Yeah.
Hmm. And the Streak was Android, wasn't it?
Yeah, the tablet, yeah. Yep.
So, I mean...
So, I'm guessing you won't see a lot of Android tablets coming out of Dell in the future.
Yeah. I mean, even if there's nothing written, there has to be a little understanding between Michael and...
Yeah, I would think so.
Like, all right, let's get Scroogled. Fire away, Paul. Microsoft. So the first Scroogle was kind of, come on. They were
kind
complaining.
Of awesome?
You, mean it you liked it. I mean, it was like they're saying, hey, you know, that Google Shopper used to be a search index of shopping. Now it's all paid ads. Ooh. But this one now is going after.
I think nobody uses it. Perfect. It doesn't. That's not the point. Okay. That site is a lie. You know, when you go to Google Shop or whatever it was called, I mean, obviously any user of that site would have a certain assumption about what they were going to get there. Gmail's a little stickier because Gmail has hundreds of millions of users. Like, it's a really popular service. And anyone who uses Gmail and is being honest about it will tell you that it is an awesome email service, but it's a little weird, some of the ads you see there. I mean... and they, you know, they scan, obviously, meaning Google, the giant industrial military complex that is Google, whatever, is scanning your emails and generating ads based on what's in the emails. It's a little weird. It is a little weird. So, you know, Gmail Man was kind of a humorous approach at tackling this issue. And now they're pushing a second attempt through the Scroogled campaign where they actually have a petition now. Where you can petition Google to stop doing what they do. Which I think is...
Can I just point out...
Yes, please do. how awesome this is?
No, because... it's not awesome. Okay, now admittedly, Gmail is the only service that gives you targeted ads based on the content of your email. Yep. But Microsoft implies that in some way they're not reading your email, but they are. That otherwise they wouldn't have a spam filter.
Yep.
So they're reading your email too. They're just not targeting ads. So what is it? Is it that it's bad to have targeted ads?
I feel like we have this conversation every
time. We have it every time.
So
they're both reading my email though. That's the
point. Microsoft reads your emails to help you. Gmail reads your emails to help Gmail.
So don't use Gmail if you don't like it.
Well, I think that's the point of the campaign. I mean, this is like the privacy stuff that you see on Facebook, where I think the point of it, and I think the reason this is semi-valuable, even if you ultimately don't leave Gmail because of it, is because it raises this issue that Google wants to sweep under the rug and that most people don't understand is, in fact, an issue. Some people won't care. They'll listen to the story. They'll come to the understanding that this is occurring, and they'll say, you know what? I like Gmail. I don't care. And that's fine. You know, that's a decision you can make. But I think it's just important to raise the issue. You know, Gmail or Outlook.com, rather, obviously has ads as well. They have to generate those ads somehow. I think I had read somewhere it said that they are partially generated based on some information that you provide when you
sign up for the service. Yeah, well, they know your age. They know your birthday.
Yeah, so they know some things about you.
So they know plenty about you. I mean, I think that what they're trying to do is act as if when a company's reading your email, they're reading your email. Like there's a person reading your email. There's not a person.
Some guy in a room.
There's nobody. It's like the mail is going through the server. You know, you don't like it, you can encrypt your mail. It's going through the server. They see some words and they give you a targeted ad. You know what the real flaw is? If the targeting worked. The problem is the targeting sucks. Well, if my ads were all germane and relevant and interesting, then I'd say, hey, you know, this is a pretty good deal.
Right. So, for example, obviously a lot of the email I get is about Windows. So one would imagine that a lot of the ads I would see in Gmail have to do with new Windows for my home, you know, replacing Windows in my car. And that kind of thing is ultimately really unsophisticated.
Right. It's just bad.
Betrays a different problem.
So the petition should say, let this targeting work.
Sure.
The petition is bogus. Microsoft doesn't care about... In fact, Microsoft doesn't want Google to change their policy. Right?
Leo, I disagree with that.
No, Microsoft wants everybody to go use Outlook.
Obviously. So what's
the petition all about? What if Google said, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, good idea. We'll give you a chance to opt out.
I just think it's cute that they're doing the right thing.
I mean, I think obviously. It's FUD. I don't know if it's the right thing. I think it's FUD.
Really? Well, okay. Yeah. I look at this and I think of this as good, clean, competitive fun. You know?
Well, I mean, it's
I
not.
Do. I do.
Yeah, I can say that. I mean, FUD is also good, clean, competitive fun, really. I mean,
well, for example, I mean, Google and Microsoft are obviously locked in this kind of weird Cold War thing where neither one of them has openly said, oh, I hate that company. We're going to do everything we can to destroy them, you know, for various reasons. So they kind of go at each other in this weird implicit kind of, you know, backdoor way. You know, there's the Google stuff with EAS, which, you know, by the way, is like a little user.
That's a little scammy, skeezy, I think.
But, you know, within their right, I suppose. I mean, I have Windows 8. I have Windows Phone. I don't like it. I understand why this would upset people. I understand that it will upset some people enough that they will never use Google services again. You know, there's always going to be that kind of fringe crowd that doesn't like that kind of behavior. But I have to sort of, respect is the wrong word, but allow this. I mean, I sort of have to give them this, that this is certainly their right to do this. There's nothing requiring Google to support these systems.
It's giving you a fairly good free email service.
It's a really good free email service. It's a really good one.
But arguably Outlook.com is as good.
And sophisticated users know how to turn off ads in Gmail. You know, there are browser plugins and...
Well, that's, you know, to me, that's worse because now you're saying, I want to take... It's basically stealing. It's saying, I want Gmail for free and I'm going to block the ads. That's stealing.
Yeah, isn't so my it? Tip of the week this week is how to steal Gmail.
I mean, I don't really care, but it's stealing.
Interesting.
You know, I'm staying mostly silent on this because I agree with Leo on this, and I don't really love this whole campaign. I mean, I think it's totally within Microsoft's right to do this. And, you know, Microsoft and Google, they're always at war of words over everything. That's great. But my whole kind of objection to this is I wish Microsoft would take all this money they're spending on this campaign and fix Bing local search. That's what I would like them to do with that money.
Marketingland.com said, wouldn't that be nice if Microsoft took this money and put CalDAV into their calendar?
Well, okay. I mean, that's like saying, why don't we leave Afghanistan and we get a free health care for everybody?
I mean, it's not
these
the
things
same
are not
department.
That's not how the world works. Right. I mean, it's not, but fair enough. I mean,
and they're trying anything they can at this point to try to get some more market share. They're kind of stuck around 30% when you combine the Yahoo, Microsoft search share, and they're not really advancing beyond that. So they're trying something new and see it. Okay, well, the scare tactic.
I love the images on the page.
I do love these people, by the way.
Yeah.
They've been scroogled.
You got to think these guys are probably, B-level actors that appear in ads and stuff. And they even have
a Facebook scroogled page.
Yeah. I mean, but this guy clearly was chosen because he makes this excellent, confused face.
What happened? You know? They put ads in my Gmail.
Yeah, he's like the quintessential male that appears in all ads where they're always being outsmarted by their wives
that's right. Everybody in ads is stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. Just they're stupid people. Because you know why? Because it makes the great American unwashed masses feel smart, and there's nothing wrong with that. Merv Griffin discovered that. That's Wheel of Fortune. The whole reason Wheel of Fortune is a successful game show. Do you know why? Because the contestants are incented not to solve the puzzle, even if they know it, so that the people at home can go, I know the puzzle, and the guy doesn't TV done.
They can yell at the TV. Yeah. How do you not know?
How could you? You stupid? Are you stupid? What? I'm smart. I know the answer. A stitch in time saves nine. Say it.
I'd like to buy a vowel, please.
Q. I would like a Q.
A Q.
And then when it's wrong, he says, no, I like Q. Another Q.
You idiot. Anyway, I don't know. We got off on that. Scroogled is,
excellent.
Excellent.
Let's just leave it at that.
It's not bad. It was when I remember 10 years ago when Gmail came out, that was the big thing. Mike, Google's reading your mail, and people were irate and stuff. It didn't really slow Gmail down. You know, one of the reasons they're doing this is Gmail is now, I think, number one for a web-based mail service.
Oh, that could be. Yeah. That could be. They're all pretty. I assume they're all the top three are pretty close. But
I just saw stats. It's not close anymore.
It's not okay. It's probably because Outlook.com hasn't fixed that damn calendar thing.
Take the money from Scroogled.
Right.
And invest in CalDAV.
Scroogled my calendar.
It's funny because Google does not respond in any way to this, right? I mean, I haven't seen any response.
How do you respond to this?
They sometimes do. Sometimes they say it's the pot calling the kettle black, like Microsoft's got an algorithm that reads part of your mail too. Blah.
Right. I mean, it is true that in anything that provides spam fighting, Yahoo Mail, Outlook Mail, Google has to read your mail. So I think they should make that clear. Well, we all read your mail.
Those things are not usually attached to an ad serving engine.
No, they should say, instead of Google reads your mail, they should say, we all read your mail. Google uses it to give you ads.
If these things were combined, all of the ads would be for antivirus products. And they would be like, seriously, you are using the blank tag because you really need this.
blink.
No, seriously, buy it. Just look, we're gonna give it to you.
You need it. All right, we're gonna take a break and come back with your picks of the week. We don't have time for a listener Q&A, and I'm sorry. I apologize. I know, Paul, this is your favorite part of the show. Did you do it last week?
We did.
See, I don't feel so bad then. Is it that Iaz is more efficient in the show, that he like moves you along? What is it he's doing that I'm not?
Nah, I think he's
that's not the right way to look at it.
He's better than me, isn't he?
No, he's a speed demon.
Well, he is fast.
We've talked to him about that before.
Yeah,
he talks like this.
Then he'll say, "So we've done enough of that, right? Let's move on."
Yeah. See, I don't do that. I basically let the conversation go till it dies. And just like we sit here silently.
And then we're just basically hacking at the corpse because we have nothing left to do.
Right. So I shouldn't do that. I will. Okay. Here's my promise to you. You had it last week. Next week, we will have enough time. We'll have enough time to listen to the chat room.
I don't believe you.
I'll have forgotten by next week. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Audible.com. Now, I know Paul loves Audible.com. We've not yet gotten Mary Jo on these audiobooks. We will. Fortunately,
first,
you know, it's a
first
good...
First we get her an Xbox.
Yeah.
One thing at a time.
No, it's good that the entire universe is not using Audible.com. There'd be no need for Audible ads. So in this respect, Mary Jo, you're doing us a favor.
Okay, good to know.
One of these days, we're going to win you over, and then an Audible will just stop advertising. We got Mary Jo. Time to go
home.
We won. Game over, man. Audible is a fabulous bookstore. Really, I don't know if there's another one anywhere near this good of audio books. Over 100,000 titles. Pretty much every new bestseller that comes out first on Audible. Marissa Meyer, what? That can't be the Marissa Meyer. She's not the author of Scarlet, the Lunar Chronicles book 2, is she? It says Marissa Meyer.
You're talking about the CEO of Yahoo?
Yeah. Or... must be another Marissa. I just noticed
that can't
this.
Be that one.
Cider, book 1 of the Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer.
I can't not.
You think she has a side job?
No, I don't. I really don't.
I can't possibly. It's just a coincidence.
I mean, I could probably run Yahoo on a weekend, you know, by weekend basis too. But no, I don't think so.
She's got a baby, a novel, and she's the CEO of Yahoo.
Oh,
she brings home the bacon, fries it up in the pan, and never ever lets you forget you're a man. Oh, she's Marissa. I'm sorry. That's completely. How about this? American Sniper. This is what you need, Paul. I know you like the military stories. The autobiography of the most lethal sniper in American history, Navy SEAL Chris Kyle. How about that?
You know, this guy was just murdered.
What?
The author, the subject and co-author of this book.
No, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I didn't know that. I feel terrible now. Well, then you should all listen to this book, and that way his estate will get a little bit of money. I'm sorry. That's terrible, too. You know, I'm just...
No, it was...
That's horrible. You know,
it's obviously
that.
A tragic story, but we lost Mary Jo, which is another tragic story. But
she was not murdered. I want to make this very clear. It's...
Yeah.
She was merely Skyped.
she got Skyped.
That's terrible.
Yeah, he was... he's a guy that has tried to help a lot of people in situations like his, and one of those guys, I think they... He would take them to shooting ranges and...
Oh, kind of PTSD guys and stuff like that? Oh, that's so sad.
I think
sad.
One of them shot him, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So Mary Jo needs to be called back.
Yeah, we'll call... Hey, call Mary Jo back! She hung up because she doesn't want to hear the ad. That's the problem. She doesn't want to be seduced into using Audible.
What is going on here?
She's going to be Audibleized.
Oh, man.
So here's the deal. If you go to audible.com/windows, you're going to sign up for that gold account. For a month, it's free. That means you get your first book free. And the real challenge here is, with 100,000 wonderful titles, how do you choose your first title? Everything from mysteries and thrillers to sci-fi, science and technology. Paul and I love those behind-the-scenes books.
Yeah.
You know, how stuff is... Ooh, Ray Kurzweil's The Singularity Is Near. That's a good one to read. What do you read? What do you like these days? Do you have a book?
So, you know, in the good old days when Microsoft was being sued by the federal government, there were like 30 different new Microsoft books every month. But we haven't really had a new one in a while. And I went through Audible to see what they had. And one I think I probably had as a pick last year, maybe the year before. I don't remember exactly when it came out. But Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen had written a book called Idea Man, the memoir of the co-founder of Microsoft. Obviously, a lot of that book deals with stuff that doesn't have anything to do with Microsoft. But if you're interested in the history of Microsoft, I would say that his bit about that is very, very interesting. But, of course, focuses on just the beginning part of the company, because he left, you know, fairly early on.
If in that book he would say, and then I bought Tech TV and ran it into the ground. my greatest regret.
Well, you will be happy to know that once he reached that point of his career, I stopped reading. So
he stopped reading?
I stopped reading.
Oh, you stopped reading.
In other words, I only cared. Like, yeah, I couldn't care less about that stuff. Yeah. So, but the other one I just reread, and it is fascinating. We've talked about it before, is that Ken Auletta book, the World War 3.0.
I love and Ken Auletta.
There are amazing tidbits in that book. The only problem with it, honestly, is that it ends because when he published the book, Microsoft had lost the case.
Right.
But there's no information about any of the appeals. And, of course, Microsoft ultimately settled. And so the case was very, very different than it sort of was when the actual trial ended. But there is amazing stuff in there. And the two I would just point out is that one is, you know, Microsoft stock price has been mired in the $25-$26 range forever and ever and ever. And there's a note in the book that said, on the day that the findings of facts were released in the Microsoft antitrust case, the company's stock price dropped from $116 to $90.
Really? And now it's what? Half that.
26.
Yeah, quarter of that.
Yeah. No, not even that. Yeah. So, well, they've had stock splits and whatnot. But I mean, it's just amazing like how stagnant the stock stuff has been for Microsoft since the trial. So obviously, it's not just stock. There were many other repercussions, but very interesting there. And the other one is they've got people from Microsoft talking about the future at the end of the book, the future as it stood
must have been
2000, 2001. There's a guy who mentions cloud computing by that name and says that we envision a future where people store their data in this thing we think of as the cloud. And I don't know when that term, you know, sort of started, but this guy said this back in 2000, maybe 2001, which is far, far earlier than I would have thought that anyone had considered it in that way. But there's a lot of talk about things that, you know, had different names at the time, next generation Windows services, the beginnings of .NET, you know, back when everything was going to be called Windows.NET, Windows Server.NET, and so forth. But that is just such a great book. If you were going to get one book about that time period, and how amazingly afraid of Microsoft everyone was at the time.
Certain amount of irony in that, because, of course, Ken Auletta also wrote Googled.
Yeah.
If he just thought to put an SC before it,
yes, he did. Yeah,
Paul would have loved it even more.
I know.
No, Auletta was the media writer for the New Yorker for a long time. In fact, I remember when he came to Tech TV, he was thinking about writing a story about Tech TV.
And well, he factored into the story about the Microsoft trial in bigger ways because he was one of the people that the Thomas Penfield Jackson talked to during the trial. Which you're technically not supposed to do.
Right. Well, he's the judge, you know.
Yeah, well, he was you could be
trusted.
Pretty heavily reprimanded for this. And
you're a judge.
His entire case against Microsoft was essentially
right
thrown on the back, you know, this thrown away. Right. A lot of it was by the Court of Appeals. But anyway, interesting story.
Very good. Audiobooks available now. Get your audiobooks here. Audible.com/windows. Well worth it. Free for the first month, and I think you're going to love it. And we've got a ton of stuff. I bet there's some beer books in there for you, Mary Jo. How about that? Would you, after your 40 beers in 30 days, you might want to just listen instead of trying to, you know.
That should be the name of your autobiography, 40 and 30, the Mary Jo story.
40 styles in 30 days. 40 shades of beer.
Yeah.
I like it.
Jeez.
I like it. Let us get to our tips and tools and tricks. What do you got for us, Paul Theron?
So I've now learned that this has been the case for quite a while. I just didn't know it. But if you go into the news app in Windows 8, my site is one of the sources for information in the technology section.
Oh, good.
And, it's kind of cool. So the reason it's cool is because you can actually then pin that site to your start screen. Mm. And you can have kind of a quick link. A quick link to all of my articles. So you get this kind of cool news style icon, a tile, and it loads up in the cool looking, you know, news app style. It's really nice looking. If you actually read the individual articles, it just loads the web page inside of the app. But it's kind of a cool way to do it. I just didn't even know it was there because, like most people, I don't actually use Windows 8 apps. But somebody had tipped me off to it. And then after I wrote about it, I heard from a bunch of people who said, you know, actually, that's been in there for a while.
I wonder does it have all about Microsoft.com in there?
It has ZDNet is in there, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So I wrote a tip. I somehow forgot to paste in the URL here, but,
It's on the super site.
Yeah, I have a tip.
How meta.
Yeah,
how to put
exactly.
This site permanently.
Here's another way to read what you're reading right now. Wait, what?
And you have a software pick, too, I see.
Yeah,
should I
so
be using this? What is this?
This is worth looking at. One of the really big limitations of Windows RT, and thus Surface with Windows RT, is that you can't sync the contents of SkyDrive to the machine.
Right.
This app, which is only $1.50, apparently is written by an ex-Microsoft employee, allows you to do that. And so it's not free, but it's $1.50. Certainly worth giving a shot. And why this isn't built into Windows RT, I'll never know.
You got to wonder if this David Overton maybe wanted it to be, and Microsoft declined, and so he released it.
Yeah.
It's called SkyDrive RT Sync, and of course you can...
Right. I probably should have mentioned that since I've only been doing this podcast for 200 years.
Oh, that's my job. You got to leave me something, Paul. You got to leave me a little something to do.
Did you want the title of it, or did you want me just to talk
around
it?
Here's a program you might be interested in.
Good night. First day with the new podcast. Sorry, I don't know.
SkyDrive RT Sync. And you would just go to the store, the Metro store, and search for RT Sync, probably be sufficient.
SkyDrive RT Sync.
SkyDrive RT Sync, three words. And Sync is spelled SYNC, not
SYNC. RT is spelled the pirate way, A-A-A-R.
RT. Mary Jo Foley, our enterprise pick of the week.
Yes. I don't usually make shows my pick of the week, but this time I am, because Microsoft TechEd is a really big show for IT pros who listen to this podcast. It's one of their, it's probably their biggest show of the year. And what's interesting about this is Microsoft traditionally has had a TechEd US and a TechEd Europe, but they were being really cagey up until now about whether there would be a TechEd Europe this year. But now we know, as of this week, yes, there will be. TechEd Europe is the 25th through the 28th of June in Madrid, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't think they've had TechEd.
Madrid.
TechEd
Paul was hoping
US.
For Barcelona, obviously.
I know. No, it's been in Barcelona Madrid. Before.
Yeah.
TechEd US New Orleans, June 3rd through 6th. So registration for both of these, I believe, opens next week on February 12th. So all you IT pros who want to go to Spain or New Orleans or both, there you go.
I can vouch for New Orleans. It is a barrel of monkeys. But don't, I did learn something. I wish I'd read this before I went. There was a great column in the Times Picayune, the New Orleans newspaper.
That's the greatest name of a newspaper ever.
It really is. The New Orleans Times Picayune. Columnist wrote, "Welcome to New Orleans. Here's a few things you ought to know." And one of the things is, if somebody walks up to you and says, "I can tell you where you got them shoes," keep walking. You can thank me later. Unfortunately, I did not read that before I went to New Orleans. So when a guy did walk up to me and said, "I bet I could tell you where you got them shoes," I said, "No, I bet you can't." He says, "Shake on it. $20 says I can tell you where you got them shoes." I shook on it. He said, "You got them on your feet." I gave him $20.
Nice.
Then he did.
And then you said, "I got scroogled."
I got scroogled. I should have shouted that. He would have been baffled. Scroogled. So just a word of warning.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt further, but I just got to show you this, Mary Jo, because while you were doing your first pick there, my phone did something it's never done before, which is it just started buzzing and then it never stopped buzzing. So it was sitting there on the table going...
It liked my joke.
Right, but look what it says, if you can read this.
It says, "Severe alert." Oh, is man. That weather? Does it say snowpocalypse? What does it say there? Blizzard warning. Oh, dear, it just turned itself off. But it says, I saw blizzard
warning. Warning till 1 p.m. EST Saturday. Prepare, avoid travel, check media.
And do not, whatever you do, go to Best Buy.
It appears that you were leaving the house. Are you insane?
Camping out. You'll see us asleep in the Best Buy.
Why don't you be outside at midnight?
We'll be out there in the blizzard at midnight.
Oh, my God. Bring extra socks.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to wear my Surface Pro as a hat. I heard it's waterproof.
It will keep you warm.
Keep your head warm. You bet. Our enterprise pick of the week was TechEd 2013 registration. You didn't mention, but I will. Opens February 12th.
Yes.
Your codename pick of the week.
Codename pick of the week is Horizon. This is a codename from a long time ago when Windows Live Mesh was actually going to be something really huge and Ray Ozzie still worked at Microsoft.
Ah, yes, the Ozzie era.
The reason I made it this week's pick of the week is Microsoft is retiring Live Mesh completely next week on February 13th. So if you're still using Live Mesh as your PC sync service, you need to hurry up and get off that service. Because once it's retired, it's retired.
Yes. Now, you wouldn't lose any data because your data would be both in the cloud and presumably if you've been meshing on your computer.
You're losing data, Leo.
Oh.
You do, right? I believe what do you lose?
Yeah, you kind of do. I mean, assuming you haven't
meshed,
synced it to a PC, you could literally lose it.
Yeah. Start meshing now. Oh, I see. Yes. That would be stuff in the cloud that you hadn't synced.
Potentially.
So Microsoft's solution to this is they say you should just move over to SkyDrive.
Well, that seems like they should just convert it to SkyDrive automatically for you, yeah, right?
But SkyDrive doesn't have everything that Live Mesh has.
But it has a place for the data. Why don't you just move my mesh data to SkyDrive?
You know, I don't know why you always point out these logical things. Like, it's like you've never heard of Microsoft.
You know? I've been outlooked.
Not the same. Yes. Not the same.
I'm in CalDevved. I'm in meshed.
I like that. I've been
That's
meshed.
Good. I've been meshed. And finally, your beer of the week.
Beer of the week. I was trying to think of something that had blue in the name. So I didn't want to go Blue Moon. Didn't want to go Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it says something.
My Android phone just gave me a warning and it talked.
Is that the Blizzard?
Yeah. You know what it is? This is this new thing. It's a government thing. And you can turn it off deep down in the menus of the Android.
I thought my UPS was failing. I didn't know what it was.
I know.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
I'd have to look into this, but I think it must have been government mandated that you should be able to get emergency messages.
It says you are currently receiving emergency alerts. Yeah. Would you like to continue receiving emergency alerts?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That was hilarious.
What did it say?
Sorry.
It say, get out of the house.
It was a woman's voice. She was saying, warning. There's, I don't know. I didn't hear all of it, but.
Yeah, I've seen deep down in the Android settings, government alerts. I'll see if I can find it. I presume that Windows.
What do you think? It's never snowed in New England. What are we going to do?
Oh, my God.
Here it comes. Get ready.
What color is it? What does it look like? How will I know when it's happening?
What's happening?
Well, I think what you need to survive the snowpocalypse is my beer pick of the week.
Black and blue, baby.
Black and blue. Because I needed something with blue in the name. So I picked Black and Blue from Dogfish Head, which is a really awesome brewery in Delaware. And this is a Belgian beer, but it's got blackberries and blueberries in it.
Yumbos.
Cool. 10%, really delicious, probably only in bottles at this point because it's a little off season right now. But I've had
bottle.
This before. I've had it and it's delicious.
It's Blue drinking a beer on the bottle.
Yep.
But what's nice is they made him 21.
Thank goodness.
He's not exactly little boy blue now. He's like middle-aged.
Little man blue.
Oh, little man blue.
He's big blue.
But I like his coat.
Yep. Funny. So that's the beer pick of the week, just to have a blue theme going on.
Very cool. Very cool. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's the place to read allaboutmicrosoft.com. And she will also be snowed in at the
Best Buy.
The Hibernian. Where is it?
Yeah, first at Swift Hibernian. If you're in New York and you need a beer to get in from the cold, come 9 p.m. tomorrow night.
Hibernian Lounge. Mary Jo will. You should do a little beer seminar while you're there.
We should.
Because they have.
They have awesome craft beer there.
Great
unbelievably
craft beers. Yeah, it's Swift. NYBar.com if you want directions. What time does that start?
9 p.m. And then we're all going to Best Buy in the blizzard. So come on down.
Actually, I hear that the New York's blizzard is not going to be as bad as the Dedham blizzard.
You're saying 7 yes, to 12 inches.
Which is how we must now refer to it.
The Dedham Blizzard of 2013.
There's a blizzard sent it over Dedham, Massachusetts.
Under the dome, Paul Thurrott, 13. The Blizzard of 13. Paul Thurrott is at the Supersite for Windows, where you'll see many, many articles over the next few days because he's got nothing else to do.
A lot of it will have to do with battery life, since I won't have any power.
That's a good point. You go to my mom's house and sit in the middle of the room with her. That sounds like fun. I don't think there's room for two chairs, actually. The people in Canada are mocking us, you understand. 3 feet. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you ought to come to Saskatoon.
My grandmother lives in a town where you can watch icebergs float by from your front porch. Exactly. She's not impressed by the weather in Boston, that's for sure.
You New Englanders. You can listen to this show or watch it live at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time on Thursdays. It's 1900 UTC at our website, twit.tv. But you know, you can also get it after the fact. We have on-demand audio and video available at twit.tv/WW for Windows Weekly. But the best thing to do is to subscribe. Go to the Zune Marketplace or use Bringcast or one of your favorite clients and subscribe to the show. That way you get it each and every week, audio and video available. Just search for Windows Weekly. Thank you so much, Paul and Mary Jo. Enjoy your whatever it's going to be, your blizzard.
I'm sorry I won't be in New York.
So you're not going to Snowcopalypse.
I'm staying home for Snowpocalypse.
Snuckalopalypse. You're not going to Snuffleupagus.
I'm going to have a Snowpocalypse staycation, I think, is the way it's going to be.
All right, folks. Thanks. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.